I'm very well. Can you hear me all good? Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you well. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, fantastic. So
Good.
what I'll do is it's recording now.
Okay.
So I tend to just use the audio, to be perfectly honest, but what I
Oh,
might do,
that's good.
I might use a couple of little clips.
Okay.
Because you're doing it lovely, so.
Ah, listen to you. Thanks.
Wicked. Oh, buzzing. Oh, thanks so
Oh,
much for
good.
doing this. I appreciate it, Joe.
Oh no, absolutely. It's pleasure. You know, it's nice to kind of be on the other side, I guess, really.
Yeah, but do you know what? It's funny when I've done a couple of people's podcasts, and it's so weird being on the other side, because not that I planned these out massively. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I kind of like it being it, you know, kind of a conversation instead of, you know, an interview or.
Yeah.
But being on the other side, like I remember my mate's podcast. He was asking me some like really good questions, you know, and you're a bit like, oh, I wish he would have told me, like he was going to ask me all these in-depth questions. But I suppose it's good because it shows you genuine, doesn't it? And shows your authenticity. You can be like, well, this is what I think and feel at the time. That's why I like the podcast. It's capturing how you feel at the time, and that's really important, I think,
Definitely.
because
Yeah,
we
no,
don't
I
all
think
have
it's
great
good.
days or amazing days or bad days. You know what I mean? It's capturing you there and then.
Yeah.
But I'm always really excited when I do the podcast, because I always have fun doing it, so it's kind of a bit of a highlight for me. So that's why I need to
No,
keep doing more of them.
it is. I've been finding that as well. I've been finding that my energy has been really good when I'm about to kind of record a podcast. I think there's just something, like you say, it's like really authentic, but it's also kind of really organic as well, because you don't really know where the conversation's going to go and how that person might respond or what mood they're going to be in. So I think there's that anticipation, and I quite like that.
Yeah, it's the fear of the unknown, isn't it? And it's kind of
Yeah,
like you don't
yeah.
know. And that's why I think for me, especially why I don't edit it, because again, I want, you know, fortunately, like people actually listen to mine, and it still makes me laugh that people listen to it. But most people who do, when they message me, they say that. They're like, oh, I
Yeah.
really enjoy your podcast, because there's not going to be an advert halfway through, or there's not going to be,
Yeah.
you know, kind of, I don't know. It's just genuine people.
Yeah.
I tend to, you know, get people on who I've either met or I haven't met, or someone has suggested them or gone, oh, you should speak to this person. But I remember, so we'll start how we met. So I remember Johnny saying it to me. He was like, oh, you need to get Joe on your podcast. And I was like, oh, I don't know Joe. I've not met her, because we have so many mutual mates. I think he just presumed I knew who we knew each other.
Yeah.
And then obviously we met. We basically did a bit of promo, didn't we, for JF Media for your podcast.
That's
So
right, yeah. Yeah.
when did that kind of come to fruition? When was like the idea came from, you know, you doing your podcast really?
It's really quite a strange one that, because I am very much, I'm a very spiritual person. I kind of believe that things just drop on me and I need to take action. So if I get a word or an idea that I can't kind of really get out of my mind and it keeps coming back to me, I will kind of explore it and take action on it. And that's kind of really what happened with the podcast. I was just having a quiet time and this kind of idea just came to me thinking, you know what, I'm in February, I'm just going to dedicate a podcast to men. I didn't know what it was going to be called. I didn't know what it was going to be like, but I thought I have to explore this idea. And it kind of obviously came about when there was a lot of promotion around for the International Women's Day, and I kind of had a bit of a conflict going on in myself at the time as
Yeah.
well. Is this the right time to do it? And things like that. But then actually, I kind of thought, no, Joe, this has been kind of given to you to kind of do something with. And what happens with things like that? Who knows what's going to happen with the idea of the podcast and where it's going to go? Because I didn't have a clue, basically. I didn't even really know how to record a podcast. I just thought, okay, that's a good idea. I'm going to run with this because I'm meant to be doing this. But I'd also, I was also about to start to work with an organization that had 73% workforce men.
Okay.
So I think somewhere there was a connection there for me to kind of do the podcast, because actually what you're going to be doing is you're going to be working with a lot of men around their mental health. and there's going to be something for them and there's going to be something for you in this, because I always believe that there is, you know, to kind of draw that out. And that's kind of how that podcast started. And I didn't have a name for it. And then I was talking to somebody else and he said, oh, what are you doing? So I said, I'm doing this podcast interviewing men around their mental health and wellbeing. He goes, what's it called? And I said, I haven't got a name for it, actually. He said, well, what does it do? I said, it lets men talk. And I went, that's the name for it, yeah. Let men talk. And it was just kind of, again, that moment of, I didn't even have to think of a name. It just kind of was there waiting for it to be born, kind of thing.
Yeah. I love that. It's organically, isn't it? And it's, I don't know whether it's, like you say, it's funny you say about being a spiritual person. Because I think people who are kind of open-minded and also kind of fate, whether it's fate or there's triggers or things where you kind of, you get like a seed and then again, you just run with it then, don't you? And yeah. It's, again, it's being open-minded enough to kind of give it a go, you know, the fear of the unknown. And you just kind of just thought, right, well, I need to do this. This is something that I'm here to do. And it was similar for myself. It was that feeling of going, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. I've wanted to do it for a long time, but it's like anything, you've just got to start. And I remember just doing it one day and I did it on my phone and now I do it over, you know, a mic and I've got an audience and stuff. But you do, like, when you think, who's going to listen? You just think, why would anyone listen to me? But then before you know it, you think, oh, I'm actually talking sense here. And I remember when we first met and you started talking about it, I was really intrigued because, again, it's quite a, I don't know, it's a positive thing. You know, you're trying to create a platform for men to talk. And again, it's something that, you know, as a whole, men, we just don't. I think that's one of the main reasons I started mine. It was kind of to make people, you know, realize, like, oh, they'll see a picture of me or a video of something I've done and they think, oh, you must be living the dream, you mate, or you're doing really well. And it's like, you know, certain times, like, I wasn't doing well at all. I was really down. I wasn't, you know, depressed is a strong word, but I definitely was. I wasn't in a good place, like, physically, mentally. And having the podcast to kind of just have an outlet, really, and have a chance to talk. And I'm sure it's the same for your guests, and having the chance to facilitate that must be really good. So what's your background then? Is it, because I know you mentioned.
Yeah, my background, I was a mental health nurse for many years. I mean, I was a general nurse when I was a fresh-faced 18-year-old, but I didn't really get along very well with blood, sadly. It kind of went with the territory and I hadn't really given it that much consideration. But I used to get quite frustrated when I was, like, nursing. I did my nurse training in London and I used to love chatting to the patients, finding out about them, you know, a bit about their history, about their family. And I'd always have a really good old chat with the relatives when they used to come in as well, because I thought that that was really a very important part of the patient's recovery.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I think it's really, really important, but there was never the time to do that. You know, so I would think, oh, you know, stay late or, you know, just kind of go that extra mile to make sure that somebody, if they needed something, I'd get it for them. If they wanted me to kind of have a conversation with their family, I'd do that for them, regardless of whether it was 9:30 and my shift was over or not, you know. And I kind of thought, I really love finding out about people and what makes them who they are. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like this whole kind of surgery and things like that. And there was always a certain amount of kind of wounds and blood and things like that in general nursing. And then, you know, it was my previous kind of lecturer that said to me, do you not think you might be more suited to mental health nursing? Because if that's what's stopping you from really kind of progressing in your career, you know, there might be something in that for you. So I trained as a mental health nurse and then I ended up staying there for staying in certain areas of mental health for 25 years. And that's how long that I worked with people for, really, you know. And I've always loved and I've worked with so many different people in that time. And I've got a whole load of experience of understanding mental health, understanding people, like working with their families and the impact that mental health has on families and carers, and why it's important that they're kind of included in that person's care and treatment, because, you know, it's really heartbreaking for some families.
Yeah. What, no, 100%. I think I feel like at the moment it's kind of it's starting to kind of, the stigma's starting to kind of change a little bit. Obviously, there's a long, long way to go, I think, with anything that's, again, it's something that, you know, we're still finding it out what, you know, what mental health is to, you know, at the end of the day, every individual's different, isn't it? And
absolutely.
I remembered, actually, funny enough, when I was teaching, I remember there was a kid who I was working with, a lovely lad, and he had a, you know, kind of a team around him. And they asked me to be in the meeting, and I was a bit kind of like, oh, what am I to do with it? And they were like, oh, you're a big part of his life now. Like, you're a dead positive role model. And you think, and that was when I was first started teaching, really. And I kind of understood the kind of, again, he had a, you know, the team around him, it was social work and stuff like that, but it was the mental health was kind of a word they used. And I was like, wow, understanding it. Cause I did my degree at Sheffield, and it was the building we were in was the health and wellbeing. And again, even then, there was like mental health was started to be talked about because there was a lot of nurses who worked there. And I remember that, you know, this was 10 years ago now. And but before that, there probably wasn't, I'd never really heard of mental health or having that kind of, again, like you said, someone like yourself who's a specialist who understands it's not, like I say, it's not like a wound that you can see and you can treat. It's totally different. And again, every individual is different. It depends on their upbringing, you know, what's nature, nurture, all these different factors. So with the podcast then, is that how have you found that with having people on and then basically opening up to you? What has it been quite like euphoric and kind of just been nice to do it in a platform where it's, again, people can listen to it really?
Yeah, I think it's been very interesting, you know, because I kind of come, every time I've asked somebody, you know, they've kind of just said, yeah. And I've had no problem in kind of, you know, because I thought, well, would men really want to do this? Am I doing it because I want to do it? Or actually, is there a need? Because I think it's really important that, you know, that need is met.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for me. You know, it's for other people to listen to. It's for somebody out there who may be really struggling that hears somebody talking about their experience that think, you know what, if that guy can, you know, start his journey of recovery, then I'm going to do the same. So for me, that message is really, really important. So that was my kind of why, I guess, really. That was kind of my main purpose for doing it. But a lot of the guests, they've been really interesting. You know, they've come from a real diverse background, mix of ages, mix of kind of careers. I've had sportsmen, professional sportsmen, rugby players, strongmen. I've had a guy that I connected with through church in New Zealand, and he has a charity called I Am Hope. And his story is the first one, actually, is really quite phenomenal. Is now how he's used that, his times of what he described as adversity, to actually help other people.
He's cut off a tiny little bit then.
Oh, has it?
It was for me, my end, but obviously I'm hoping it would have gone through.
Okay.
It was just talking about your first guest that you had on.
Okay, shall I repeat that bit?
Yeah, is that okay? Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine. So the first guest that I had on was a guy that I met through church. And he used to play rugby in Manchester, Salford, I think. I don't know the difference between Union and League.
Yeah, so it would have been Rugby League. It would have been Salford City Reds. It would have been.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he went through a terrible time as a teenager. When he was living in New Zealand, he then came to England, played rugby, got injured, which is quite a common theme, isn't it? And, you know, had to go back to New Zealand. But his story is really about overcoming adversity, finding out his dad wasn't his dad, finding out that it is kind of just pure this lack of connection between him and the man that he thought he was his dad. And he really shares that really openly. So kind of anybody that's listening to that might be have had a similar experience or is growing up with that, you know, his words are so powerful about how he's turned that around. And the thing that really helped him was this guy that he met in the street, and he used to see this guy every day, and he couldn't understand why he was so happy, you know, because he wasn't happy. So he just asked him, and this guy said, this guy gave him hope And he now has this charity called I Am Hope, and they work with, you know, like think stories yeah. like that. And, you know, I've got leaders from really big superstores. They're talking about mental health in men in leadership roles in the workplace and the stress that that brings. But actually how now leaders are really encouraged to have empathy and compassion. You know, so there's quite a variety of guests, really, and they all bring their own uniqueness around what they've experienced or what they understand or what their view is or what their kind of relation with their mental health is.
Yeah.
And, you know, understanding when they know they're becoming unwell or have been unwell and are able to reflect back on that and think, I know that at that time I wasn't well, but I just didn't know enough to go and do something about it.
Yeah.
Or I didn't know where to go. I didn't know who to go to.
I think that's like anyone who's listened to that, go, you know, please go and check out Joe's podcast. Cause I remember we had a little chat about it and I was just like blown away with, and again, I think this is the power of podcasts. It gives you a chance where it's not a short, you know, 5 minute, right, tell me about your life and this is what it is, but specifically obviously yours, because it is a platform for men to talk about their mental health. I'm not surprised they open up to you, Joe, because you've just got a very calm voice and way of dealing with things. And I've not known you that long, but I remember we had a chat the other week, didn't we, and we were on the phone for like an hour and it was
ages,
just like
yeah.
And it's really nice, and it's so nice that you've done that. And again, I think it's really important. And it, just going back to then about the not being happy and seeing someone who is happy and identifying that and having the hope. I think that's what's really kind of, I think it's a really important message. I think if you kind of identify if you're not happy or you're not feeling 100%, it's okay. But you need to change that yourself. It's not, you know, no one else is going to kind of do that for you. And it's hard, you know, I always say harsh reality is better than false hope. I always have these kind of mantras or quotes and things.
Yeah.
And that's something that I often say to people, kind of to make them realize when it's a bit, because it snapped me out of it. When I heard that quote, I remember I was just like, wow, that was kind of, you know, you need that sometimes. You need that kind of harsh lesson or again, hearing somebody else's lessons in life and thinking, oh, wow, either someone's obviously had it worse than me, or I can identify with that. And I think that's what's really important with your podcast. I feel like men, and again, it's not just men, I'm sure women have listened to it as well. It will help them understand where thinking, oh, I've seen that in my, you know, husband, boyfriend, partner, son, there's things where, like, I remember, you know, I remember apologizing to a few people in my family because I was like, look, I know I was a bit of a dick and I wasn't nice to be around. I was just negative. And I've never really been a negative person. I'm quite a happy-go-lucky person. But then I identified what I was doing, what I wasn't doing, why I wasn't happy. And I'm sure it's the same with the podcast, with all your guests. It doesn't matter what background they're from or, you know, if they're high profile or low profile. We're all human at the end of the day, aren't we? And we all struggle and we all go through things. And I'm guessing that's what's really cool about your podcast. It gives people, especially obviously men, the chance to open up and share those kind of, you know, personal stories. And it's again, it must be hard for you as the interviewer to kind of, again, it's probably a lot easier for you because obviously it's been your job for a long time. But even so, it must still be a bit kind of daunting at times when people are just, you know, you've never met them and they just open up to you and you're just kind of a bit like,
I don't know what they're going to say now. I always ask people, is there anything that you don't want me to mention, because that, you know, that's really personal. And usually people say no. You know, people say, you know what, I'm here because I think if it helps somebody, then that's kind of my job done. And I say, well, if you're good with that, then I'm good with that as well, because I've heard a lot of things in my time in terms of my career, you know, and the people that I've spoken to. So there's very rarely something that I come across and I think, yes, I think it might be very sad. And yes, I think, you know, that, but I always try and think, so, you know, what did you learn from that? What did you get from that? What difference did that event make in your life to who you are today?
I think that's what's important, though, isn't it? Hearing those kind of you know, whether it is kind of sad or kind of your lowest points, it's hearing that and, you know, realizing that everyone does struggle and everyone does have tough times where, you know, and again, I think it goes back to yourself then, don't you? Where you think, blooming hell, I've not been through that. Or again, I can relate to that because something similar has happened. And it makes you realize, oh, I'm not the only one. I think that's probably the most important thing.
I think that not being the only person, because I think when you have a struggle with your mental health, you know, even before it becomes a diagnosed mental illness, you know, that feeling of kind of whether it's isolation or shame or embarrassment or feeling kind of actually, you know, if I speak to that person, I'm going to break down and cry. I'm not ready for that yet. You know, knowing that there are other people that have had those experiences. Yes, they may have been for different reasons, but actually where they are now to where they were then are very, very different. And it is that thing around that recovery is possible if you're really ready to take that step. And each of the guys so far have always they haven't said those words, but that's been my kind of interpretation of what they're saying. But they've all kind of delivered a story of hope, of recovery, of yes, it's tough, and you wouldn't think that I'm on antidepressants, but I am. And look, this is really helpful for me because, you know, I'm thinking of the one guy that said that, because actually, you know, there's a lot of shame around people that take medication, but no, if you need it, you need it. It helps you.
Oh, totally. I think again, it's this the stigma of again seeking help. And obviously, everyone who's been on is. I think the fact that they've come on shows how brave they are. And again, I think that's they're obviously in a place there where they are clearly comfortable to acknowledge it, share, and again, acceptance. I think that accountability. That's, you know, for me, that's one of the biggest. I think in life you can do. You know, when you kind of take yourself seriously and you kind of have a look at yourself and like again, harsh realities, false hope. You know, when you can look in the mirror and be like, well, what am I doing that's, you know, if I am struggling or I'm doing really well, what am I doing? What aren't I doing? Who am I hanging around with? What am I doing? It's there's so many factors obviously that can affect you, but I think having the identifying, like you say, what are you doing right is or doing wrong is really important to obviously help you progress and move forward. And it's just a really positive thing that there's a lot more work to be done, but again, I feel like something like your podcast is definitely going to help move it on, and hopefully hope the next generation, you know, kind of understand that it is okay. Because I think past generations, again, I think it's seen as a negative thing, or again, you just don't talk about it. I just don't think it was, you know, and it's the whole kind of men are men. And you know, I always hate the word when people are like, oh, you need to man up. I just think that's the most negative thing you can say. You know, I've had someone say that to me I've had a few people say it to me in the past. And one time I took it really wrong and went probably, you know, a very negative way. And then the other time I was like, I kind of said, I was like, you shouldn't say that, you know. I said, it's really, you know, derogatory and it's fair play to the woman. She was like, do you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I know better, and I shouldn't have said that really. And again, I think it's having that conversation, being comfortable to talk. The first time I wasn't, I took it very personal, and I took it very like, again, it was in my own head, you overthink things. Whereas now, again, I think when you're open and comfortable to talk about things, it's only going to help. And I think doing the podcast has helped me do that. I think it's, and I'm sure it'll be with yourself. It's you've obviously know what you're doing because you've done it as a professional for so many years, but you're only going to get better at it, whether it's listening or putting it across in a way where you can, it's going to help your listeners at the end of the day, isn't it? It's, have you gotten a lot of confidence from doing the podcast? Have you?
It's interesting because I used to shy away from being visible and being seen. So I think that I've been given this voice because everybody goes on about my voice and I kind of hear it and I think, I don't get it. And my kids certainly don't get it either because they probably hear it about 10 decibels higher. But it's kind of like Johnny, he's always going, oh, your voice, Joey, because you could just send me to sleep. He goes, and I said, what are you saying? I'm boring. He went, no, because it's just like really calming. Yeah. And everybody says that I've just got the voice for a podcast or radio because I don't know why, but anyway, I hope that works. But I think, you know, the guys have all said, oh, I just feel like I've had an hour's therapy and I haven't done anything. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, so anybody out there that wants to come on and have an hour's three therapy, even though it's not therapy, you know, kind of get in touch with me, because I hope I don't send you to sleep.
No, I don't think it is. I think, again, it's having the, I've had it with people message me going like, oh, your voice, it's like really, I've got a deep voice. So I don't know whether it's that, but again, I think it's authentic as well. And I think it's relatable. It's not your typical. I don't know. Everyone's voice is different, isn't it? And I used to, even now I've got past it. But I remember the first time I heard my own voice, and it was, I did a play and we watched it back, and I was just like, I was just like, wow, my voice is so deep. Also, it's, you just think, God, like, you just get paranoid, don't you? And you just get neurotic, and you think, oh, this is. But again, I've got used to it now, because obviously doing what I do, you get to see yourself and hear yourself, and that's why I like doing accents, because I can kind of, you can get away with not doing your own voice, but it's helped with the podcast, definitely. Like I always listen back to it. I listen back to it once, and then I just put it out, because again, you have that fear sometimes. You're like, I can't believe I said that, or I can't believe this. And it's nothing that like outlandish. It's my own insecurities where it's kind of like, oh, that was a bit silly, that, or you didn't articulate what you were trying to do. But again, this comes from doing more podcasts, and that's why I like doing the Zoom, actually, because I avoided the Zoom. Like, I was like, oh, I'm not doing it. Like, I don't want to put the footage out or anything like that. And then in my head, it was kind of like, no, you need to do that, because that's a positive thing. And also, some people, you know, I wanted it always to be audio, and then to do it on a video and progress it, you know, but it takes more steps with it, because it's like my little baby, this, and I want it to be, you know, I want it to keep doing it and grow it as best they can. And doing the Zoom, I realized it was like, oh, I was kind of putting, I don't know, you talk yourself out of stuff, don't you? And when you do it, you're like, oh, I don't know what I was like nervous about. And
and I think I have got more confident, definitely. I feel like I've got you know, I kind of feel more comfortable about asking perhaps questions that might feel to some people, wow, she took a risk there asking that question. I wouldn't have asked that. But then I've had to ask really difficult questions of people in the past as well. Do you know what I mean? So I always try and find a way of asking a question that might come across as really personal or intrusive, but in a different way, to kind of, you know, encourage that person just to talk a little bit more. So I guess I feel like my skills around asking questions and listening have certainly kind of improved over the past few months, really, while I've been doing it. And not to shy away from that, because sometimes people want to tell you, they might not know how.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's like you say, it's having the, it's listening, but then understanding, like, I actually have to ask that question now, because you know that it's not going to come out, and you might just have to kind of point them in the right direction. But also, I think going back to your voice and just your mannerism and who you are, you're very calming. So I feel like straight away people's guards are down. I think that's what's important, though, isn't it? This is why I kind of avoided this, because I love doing my podcast in the same room as the person, and the fact it was just audio and I could sit opposite you and have that conversation, whether I knew you or I didn't. It was really unique and special, and I think that's why I avoided not doing it on Zoom, because I was kind of thinking, am I going to lose that authenticity? Am I going to lose the, whether it's a technology thing where it's, you know, again, before when it cut out, or again, you've just got to adapt and evolve, haven't you? And I think that's life.
And I think this is life for a little while longer. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I've known, let me think, I've known one, two, I think I've actually only known three of my guests. Everybody else I've not met before.
Wow.
I know. You know, and I've had a chat to them on the phone, and I've just said, you know, I'm just ringing to introduce myself and tell you a little bit about the podcast. Anything you don't want me to kind of go near or ask you, then just let me know. Otherwise, kind of, we're kind of just good to go and you bring what you bring. And all the guys have come off after and said, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I was talking about those things. I don't know what you did. Kind of hypnotize me into talking about them. I said, no, I didn't. I really didn't hypnotize you. I just let you talk. And that's the whole point of letting men talk, because you discover and you heal and you, you know, help yourself so much by talking, you know, so having the right person to talk to. So if someone's choosing to go into counseling or to therapy or to get help, you know, that connection with that person is so, so important. Because if you're sitting there thinking, this person's not gelling with me, they're off completely off the wrong track, or I don't feel that they're very warm, or I don't feel that they're able to kind of understand where I'm coming from, you're not going to go back again.
No.
You're not going to go
back. It's going to hinder you potentially reaching out again, isn't it? And absolutely. Maybe, and I think that's why sometimes, and especially men in general, because I feel like when anyone does say something, or I know it has happened in the past where you say something or you breach the conversation, people just don't know how to react, or you go down the route of, oh well, let's just take the piss then. And and sometimes that works, don't get it wrong. Sometimes it's being in a group setting and having that just offloading it and getting it out. But again, I think if you, like you say, if you're seeking help and you're having therapy, or you're talking about serious issues, you need to be comfortable with the person who you're talking to. And again, I think that's why it works so well with your podcast, is because straight away I think you put people's guards down, and it's, and again, you're genuinely interested. And I think that you go back to it all the time, it's the listening and having the platform to. I bet it's so interesting, because I do, when I listen back to these, how often do you listen back to yourself? Very rarely. So I think is really important. I think it's really important that you listen, you know, you hear what you're saying, how you're feeling at the time. Because that, again, that's how you think and feel at that particular moment in time. Oh, no. Oh, I think Joe's timing's gone off. Still there. Hang on, guys and girls. Right, so obviously I'm doing this on Zoom and Joe's just disappeared. So I'm hoping something's just come up there. I should just text her saying, you're frozen. Is she coming back? I hope she is.
I don't know what happened. You froze. And then I just disappeared.
I could see you frozen, and I was talking, and I was just like, God, she's really good at keeping still.
Oh, because you'd frozen on mine and I could hear you, but your face was like, it was one eyebrow up like that, like a real, really getting deep into something. And then I just went.
I think what's good, it's still recorded. So this bit of the interview will be well funny, because it'll just be me going, she's gone. She's coming back. No. See, this is what's great, though, isn't it? Again, it's reacting and evolving.
Yeah, this is the situation, isn't it?
This was why I was skeptical with the Zoom thing, because I remember doing a play and it did, and it kind of kept happening, and obviously it was a bit, that was some, there was about 10-15 people on that Zoom doing the play, so it was very, you know, very different, you know.
Yeah.
And again, I wasn't organising it, so I was a bit like, this is great. I can just do my lines and sit back and enjoy it, which I did. It was very good. But it's
it's true, isn't it? I think, because I think, you know, we've had to really learn to adapt in this last 12 months. You know, if you haven't adapted, you're going to kind of really struggle. But that adaptability, because as human beings, we don't really like change that much, because, you know, we're quite a creature of habits. And then we've had all of this change just taken away. You know, our decisions have been taken away from us, and we've had to kind of become a little bit more on the conformist side. But we've had to adapt to so many different situations and settings that I think it's been a real opportunity to kind of really learn about yourself as well, if you've wanted to.
Oh, 100%. I think, you know, I've said this to quite a few people. It's for me personally, I have enjoyed it, because it has given me time to stop and I've had to stop, and I'm a million miles an hour all the time. So yeah. to have to stop and not, and have things taken away from me that I really enjoy, like the gym, like seeing my friends. I'm quite comfortable being on my own. I don't struggle with that at all. Like I've always got stuff to do. But I've realized and tried to utilize the time. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I didn't, you know. And again, certain times I could feel myself slipping back into old ways. But then I was like, no, this is because this is happening. And again, you can identify it. So again, if it would have happened a few years ago, God knows where I would have been, to be perfectly honest, because I think I would have struggled a lot more. But for me, I've doing what I do, it's as an actor, you're constantly waiting for the next role and doing that thing anyway. So don't get me wrong, it's been very frustrating not being able to audition for things and go and create stuff. But then it's given me time to work on my own stuff, like the doc, like the podcast, connect with Johnny and work with Johnny. And we, you know, we've been on a bit of a roll with JF Media because it's given us a focus to kind of go, oh, this is what we want to do. We're just going to do this now. And we've just ran with it. And, you know, a massive shout to Johnny because he's helped me hugely. And I think, and I know he said it to me, like I've helped him. And again, I think sometimes it's just having that person who you can go, oh, we're on the same path here, and you get what you're trying to do. And same when we met you with doing the promo video, we just clicked straight away. And it was just that thing of like, this is what you want to do. This is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Done. It was brilliant. The sun was shining. We were very lucky with it all.
Yeah, it was a lovely day. I don't know how long it took actually, but you know, and I was a little bit nervous about doing that because, you know, there was Johnny with his camera, you were there, there was Mikey there as well. Mikey thought I was going to do some kind of singing and dancing thing. And I was like, no, of course I'm not going to do anything. Like, so ridiculous. Why would I do that? Because I can't do either sing or dance. But, you know, I think what I really appreciated so much was just you being there and actually kind of talking to me, because as you were talking, I was able to kind of really kind of get my creative flow going, and that really helped me then kind of say what the podcast was about, because I'm very much like, I don't like to plan and prepare too much because it doesn't work with me like that. I kind of feel it loses its realness, really. I guess it's, for me, it's very much like, say what's on your heart, say what's when I'm talking, it's usually what I'm feeling at that moment. And you know, and that's what came out. It was everything that I'd kind of wanted it to be came out in that kind of, I don't know, 3 or 4 sentences. And I couldn't do it again because it didn't work the second time or the third time. I can't remember how many times it was now, but because I was happy and, you know, with what I'd said, because actually that was the truth.
I think that's exactly it, isn't it? It's having the I'm very similar to you, and I think that's why straight away I could identify it, because I was like, and also obviously this is what I do as a job now, so I can see it in others. And then you kind of, and again, it's helping me venturing kind of the director route, which I've always wanted to do, really. It's helping me as an actor or a performer. But when you see it in others, and exactly, I'm the same way. It's like, I like being off the cuff. I think don't get me wrong, certain things have to be scripted, and I totally get that, but for you and what you're trying to do, it's not going to come off authentic if it's scripted. And it's just not believable. And I think now more than ever, I think people and the audience are a lot more switched on. I think because everyone's with technology and, you know, for TikTok, for example, or Instagram, it's like, because of social media, you get to see the behind the scenes of how things are done. And if anything, we're going too far the other way now, where it's like everyone knows what they're doing, so you can't know whether it's fake or real. But I believe the audience now, because of that, do know when it's real, and especially when it's something authentic of like you're trying to do. I think it was, but again, I knew you could do it. That's what it was for me. It was just kind of like great advice I've had off directors or teachers in the past who've just gone, take a breath, don't forget to pause. And say what you've got to say, because what you're saying is bang. But that's what it was. I knew you could do it because you're doing it, and that's who you are. It's not like let me get that line right, or let me get this. It was just like, and that's why it works so well, because it was open and honest, and I think for me that's always the best
Definitely.
way. But again, it's very difficult to get in front of a camera and go,
yeah,
we could talk like this, and I know it'd be the same. But as soon as you say, oh, it's on a podcast and I'm going to film it, within, it's obviously everyone's going to do it where you're like, you freeze up a little bit, or you get a bit like, oh, and then I've got to say the right things because this is, and it's, people know it's, and again, the more you do, the better you get it. That's what it is.
Definitely. I was doing one of my Let Men Talk yesterday, and we were talking about having our own businesses basically. And I said, yeah, I love it. I said, but when it gets to Friday at 5 o'clock, I'm still looking for the sugar daddy with the yacht. And I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But actually, he said it was really funny. I said, because it's true. I said, actually, I love what I do, but I still wouldn't say no.
No, but that's the truth, isn't it? And it's like I say, it's a bit of banter. That's your personality. Yeah. It's funny.
I'm not superficial. And I know I can say that without coming across as superficial. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not going to find one in Levenshulme.
Hey, you never know. Levy's the new Chortland, apparently. You never know.
It's on the up.
So are you Manchester born and bred then?
I was born in the Lake District.
In the Lakes?
Yeah. And then I moved to London when I was 18 to do my nurse training. So I was in the Lake District for 18 years, in London for 18 years. Wow. I'm going to give my age away now. And then I've lived here for 17 years.
Hold on a minute.
Yes, I've got one more year to decide my next move. Will I stay or will I go?
So whereabouts in the Lakes?
I was born in Kendal.
Oh, Kendal, nice.
Yeah, but my parents, they lived in, I don't know whether you might have heard of it, it's called Kirby Lonsdale.
Yeah.
So it's, that's kind of where I grew up.
I used to play rugby.
Sedbergh.
And we'd have games up that way when we played for even more, because it was, again, we just played teams in the Lake District. And I remember as a kid going up to the Lakes, I remember going camping a few times. I went there last year with a few of my mates, actually. Remember when we had that brief moment where we thought we could get out, and it was so just want to say shout out to Parky, Si, and Cal, because I know they listen to the podcast, and we you know, kind of had tests and met up, and it was amazing. It's a special place, the Lake District, isn't it? And we got there, it was pissing it down, and you think this could be it. But also, it was like, we're not bothered, do you know what I mean? But then the next day, it was beautiful. The sun was shining. We had a lovely day. It was so nice. And what was it? Obviously, it's probably a stark contrast. So growing up there and then obviously going to London as well, and then even Manchester. Do you think that's because it was so different? That's kind of why you wanted to go to London? Or was it just because of the profession you wanted to do?
I don't think it was because of the profession I wanted to do. I think it was more the fact that I used to get, I don't think I was ever meant to live in the country. Mm. I just think that when I got to kind of like 16, 17, and I was, you know, there was nowhere to go out, you know, and we always used to, you know, the group of us would have to go out of the Lake District if you wanted to go on a night out or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Because there wasn't anywhere, anything. So that experience of growing up wasn't really lending itself to kind of perhaps those normal teenage things that you would have wanted to do. And then I just felt kind of quite claustrophobic. You know, I always call it that, but I suppose it's a little bit like small town mentality that everybody knows your business.
Yeah, no. I know what you mean.
And for me, that just didn't, and also I kind of grew up in a really small town. My dad was Italian and my mum was English. So I kind of had quite a lot of, you know, difference towards me because I wasn't, you know, Alison Smith. I was Josephine Peruzza. I had a really unusual name. My dad was Italian. My mum was English. So I kind of had, you know, some racist comments when I think about it, even though, you know, it's not about my skin colour, but it's about my culture was quite different. Mm. And I kind of think, you know, I need to experience. And I was growing up, I just wanted to kind of, maybe I wanted to be a little bit of a blend in somewhere or mix in somewhere and not kind of stand out so much. So when I went to London, I could be whoever I wanted to be. Nobody cared, you know, not in a bad way, but it didn't actually matter. So that opportunity when I went to London to do my nurse training, but then just to kind of discover myself and how I fitted in different cultures and different environments and exploring different experiences, you know, I loved that. I absolutely loved it, you know, and I really kind of grew up with a very different viewpoint of what it's like growing up in a, because I did grow up in a city. I spent 18 years there. So I did all my kind of going out there. You know, I lived and I worked there. I bought my first flat there. So I kind of really, what I believe, grew up there and had all these opportunities, because that's what a big city does. It creates, you know, you can step into many different roles and adapt in that environment. So for me, that was a really big learning about who I am, or who I was growing up to be, and what I was exposed to, and, you know, the people that I met, the courses that I did, you know, number of things, really.
And then you came up to Manchester. Was that through, obviously, for your job? And
Came up to Manchester because I had Trinity, who's my eldest daughter, and her dad was from Manchester, even though he lived in London. But we came back. Yeah, came to Manchester because I would be nearer my family, and he was going to be nearer his family. So that's where I've been ever since. So that was 2002.
Wow. Yeah. When the Commonwealth Games.
That's right. Actually, I remember the Commonwealth Games. I'd actually only just been born, I think, around that time when the Commonwealth Games were on in Manchester, because her grandma was singing in the choir at the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's,
what do you think of Manchester then? Because do you know what? I just presume you're from Manchester. I don't know why.
Have I got an accent?
No. I think you've got a northern accent. But it's,
I've definitely got a northern accent.
But again, it's obviously you've lived here long enough, haven't you? So to be fair, my dad's similar. My dad's Welsh, but he's lived here for years. Even though he's got a Welsh accent, I just think he's Manc. Do you know what I mean? Obviously because he's Welsh, but he's lived here a long time. And again, I think it's just, I don't know if it's an attitude or just way of life. It's very, Manc people, I've been told, and I think it as well, like, we're very welcoming. It's a northern thing, but I think it is a Manc thing. Very normal kind of welcoming people. I just think it's very open. But obviously I'm biased, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Manchester's kind of, it's a nice city. I think for the first 4 years, I think I probably cried every day because I miss London so much. And I found it really quiet and I felt like I'd taken a little bit of a step back in time, to be honest, when I first came here. And, you know, I didn't know anybody other than Derek's family. So I didn't have any friends that I was coming back to, because I didn't know anyone. So I was quite lonely for the first, I think, until Trinity kind of went to primary school, really. I worked and I got a job in Salford Drug and Alcohol Services. And I had this, the first day I went to work there, I said, right, I'm going to get the train and the tram, thinking the tram was like London Underground.
Oh, yeah.
5 hours later, from Stockport to Salford, it wasn't 5 hours, but it was a long time. We got a car the week after, because I thought, I'm not doing that journey every day. I didn't realise kind of the tram and the underground were totally different. The tram was just really slow, and I'm used to kind of like travelling on the
underground. Back then, it would have been shocking as well, I presume.
It was really shocking.
It's such a stark contrast, isn't it? It's funny because when I first started, you know, acting and pursuing, you know, kind of trying to be a creative, I had to go to London because there wasn't much in Manchester. It was obviously, apart from Coronation Street and the odd kind of thing, all the work was in London. And I used to love going down to London, but it's such a great melting pot, isn't it, London? And it's so big and vast and,
yeah,
a million miles an hour. So I do understand what you're saying there, especially in 2002, because of the Commonwealth Games, and again, just the way the city has grown massively, because again, you know, investment, again, as cities, metropolitans do, they grow. But yeah, in 2002, what I remember, I was in school, but I know I was very lucky. I've got family in London, so we used to go to London. And it was always this big adventure, same obviously with the acting as well. Last year was the first year I've not been to London for acting or just to go down and work. And I missed it, to be honest, because it's always it's always great booking a job in London, because I go down, I do the job, I'll try and book a couple of things in and try and stay a couple of days, catch up with family and friends. And it's just a great, but like, again, I always have fond memories of going down there. I've done some great jobs. Again, I've got a lot of, friends from down there. And I can't wait to go back down, to be honest, because I do get what you're saying about, you know, maybe having that kind of like, oh, feel like you've gone back in time type of thing. I feel like we've caught up now. Feel like we're all right.
I think I was maybe not so much now, but then, you know, I kind of would say, you know, if I ran out of something, because the shops weren't even open past 8 o'clock then, I don't think. Do you know what I mean? It'd be oh, but we can't, there's nothing open to go and get it. And I was used to kind of just London, where it's like literally 24 hours, 7 days a week. Yeah, you might not be able to get it in the area that you live, but if you were just to kind of go a little bit further down the road or whatever, you'd find a shop that was open. So I think it was just more of kind of not knowing anyone, being a new mum, you know, and having the responsibility of a child, you know, which is quite a daunting thing. And then, you know, getting a job, finding work, and then trying to fit back in. And I remember going into this, because I'd worked in drug and alcohol services when I had lived in London for 10 years. So I'd had a really good career working in different drug and alcohol services, and a lot of experience with a really transient population, because of London is a transient population, you know. So when I went to Salford, it was very different, because what I found there was it's families entrenched in drug use and alcohol use that are in treatment. So if that was, again, another, you know, it was a great experience, but it was quite a different way of working. But the whole team was going through like an organisational restructure, and I'd kind of been given the job to do that, basically. So I wasn't going in as a popular person. I wasn't going in to kind of, you know, make friends and influence people. I was going in to say, is this working or is this not working? And if it's not working, these are the things that need to happen. So I was going in to kind of do that job, really. So it wasn't a good experience for me initially, because I had that to do and I didn't know anyone, and everyone was curious. And someone actually said to me, don't come here with your fancy London ways. And I said, I don't know, what do you mean? You know, and that was kind of what they probably thought. I was coming from London with my fancy London ways to do something terrible to them all. But it wasn't really that like that. But that's kind of what their impression was. Do you know what I mean? So I had quite a tough few years, I think, in the beginning, really.
I think, to be honest, I think that's something that, again, it's the fear of change, or when people are stuck in their ways. And I can imagine, like, my granddad was from Salford, and it's, at the end of the day, Salford's a city. It's not like people always just think it's Salford's a city. It's got a cathedral. It's, you know, Salford. People who are from Salford are like, they're very proud of that. And my granddad was like, he always was. And again, I got to see Salford because of him. But it's a tough place. Do you know what I mean? It's not, and especially again, and also I think as well, you know, you are going to be intimidating. You've gone down. Everyone again thinks it's fancy waves with London and all that. I know exactly. And also, it's the fear of change. It's your coming to make improvements and make tough decisions, and also to educate people. And unfortunately, not everyone, you know, people like being in the comfort zone and having things the way they are. But at the end of the day, you don't evolve when you do that. And things don't get better. And also, I can imagine there was probably a massive, which there still is in most cities, you know, there was been huge issues in that community, and again still is with drugs and alcohol.
And also I think that then I think there was quite a significant north-south divide as well, wasn't
huge,
there? I don't think it feels like that it seems to be such a problem anymore, or maybe now because I'm so much in the north that I don't feel it, but there was definitely a north-south divide, you know, of which I think had a massive kind of influence on people's perceptions of what I might be like or what I might be doing. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. It's funny that the last guest I had on, Tegan, who's she's a comedian. She's brilliant, really funny girl. She's a southerner, and she's moved. She's moved up north, and she moved up north during the pandemic. So it's been. So I've been kind of like. So I said that to her. I said, how do you feel? Even though it's a bit frustrating, she's not been able to experience it. And she says, even she's noticed that, you know, people are a bit nicer up here. That, you know, it's a different, but again, this is, you know, a few years ago where I had it when I, you know, went down originally, or when I went to uni. I've got a few friends who were southern, and you have that initial, oh, you're just a posh southerner. And do you know what I mean? You don't have a clue. And then you actually have a conversation, you can talk, and I went to his stag do a few years ago, and we went camping in Wales. And obviously all his mates are like well-to-do kids, like lovely, lovely lads. I knew half of them, but half of them I didn't know. And they're like very well-to-do. You know, he grew up in Seven Oaks, which is a lovely place in Kent. Stunning. Every time I went to London, he and his family always put me up. And, you know, that was so nice for me. Like, I'll never forget that. You know, I'd be filming all day, or I'd be down there for a couple of days. I'd be dead nervous. And then I'd travel, like, I'd get the train at Blackfriars and then go up there. And it'd take me about an hour, but to come to a home setting, and, you know, his mum used to cook for me. And, like, I remember once he wasn't even there, and she was like, don't worry, I've made the spare room up for you. She's Dutch, and she made me these like biscuits called Pepernoten. And she used to make them for me just because she knew I was coming. And just that side of where, you know, you can talk about North, Southern, Richport, whatever, but to me, like, being a decent person and decent family, like, that's what they were. And I learned that very quickly with Si, and he did it with me, and that's where we connected. And, you know, we talk about it now. And he was one of the lads who we met up in the lakes, and he loves coming up north because I think his dad's from up north, so I think he got it as well. Yeah. But it is, unfortunately, there is that, and there'll still be a little bit now with the stigma of, you know, oh, north, south. And again, it's the same thing, and it's tribalism, isn't it? It's, you know, I'm sure it's the same for, you know, people with, say, when you grew up, and the fact that your dad was Italian. You know, my dad has it because he's Welsh, or my mum's English, or like, so my mum went to Wales, or my dad come up here. It's, you're put in a box. I get it sometimes. I'm very lucky because, again, I've got to experience different cultures, upbringing, being from Manchester. I probably have a lot more of a unique perspective compared to most. And I noticed that when, like, say, if I was brought up in the Lake District, where it can be a bit narrow-minded or a little bit, not everyone is, but unfortunately, it's just, again, small town mentality. But it's the same in the city. It can happen here. It's just, I think if you grow up in Manchester or London, you learn very quickly, like, oh, there's so many different cultures, races, creeds.
Yeah.
You have a lot more in common. And also, it's, again, the profession that I do. You know, you get to work with so many cool, amazing artists who... Yeah. We're all in the same boat. So it's kind of like, it's not, again, and also I think it's your upbringing. I was very lucky. My parents brought me up, you know, they were very, again, open and honest, and just harsh reality. You know, they were just kind of like, this is the way it is. And this is, you know, and growing up and who I grew up with, whether it's, you know, friends from the Black community, from the Asian community, whether it was, Pakistani, Indian, you know, through sport, I got to mix with a whole different heaps of cultures.
Yeah.
And that's helped me in my adult life massively, because I've got a story where, or if I'd be like, oh, are you from da da da? And they'd be like, how do you know that? And they'd be like, oh, my mate's from da da da, whatever. Or his mum's from Ghana or whatever. And they'd be like, how do you know that? And you'd just be like, well, that's just because where I'm from, Manchester is a bit like that. Not all of it, but. For me personally, my upbringing, that's the way it is. And I'm not saying we're perfect. We're not at all. But I feel like I think through sport, or whether it's music or the arts, I feel like there, and even through podcasting now, it's a medium where people can relate to people and hear stories from different cultures. But reconnecting with Johnny recently, me and him have had some amazing chats and really kind of open and frank conversations, really, whether it was, you know, And again, I think for us, we can have those conversations. I'm sure you're the same, where when you can be open and honest and ask the question, and you know it's not coming from a negative standpoint, it's only going to help for me. And that's why it's really important to ask those questions, and especially with your podcast, whether you know, whether it is mental health, it's having the ability to be open-minded, but listen to different people from different backgrounds. And I know that actually we're all pretty similar.
Yeah, that's right. Because I think, you know, from listening to the podcast and kind of, I am a little bit of a data geek, to be honest, even though I don't collate it in any particular way, but I do like to identify themes. Yeah. I don't know why, but I think it's really interesting for me, like listening to the podcast, because there are, you know, regardless of who's talking, you know, their age, their culture, where they're from, what their experience is, you know, the themes of what men are talking about are the same.
Yeah.
Just, and, you know, will that be different? Will that change in generations to come? I guess, who knows? I don't know the answer to that question, but I guess what's interesting is that a lot of these themes are same, whether the guy's been 60 or 24. You know, so I think that's really, really interesting.
That's it, isn't it? I think it's the more you understand that, again, age is another one where you can relate to people from different generations and backgrounds. It's and the thing is as well, like, again, the world's constantly changing, and you have to keep up with that. But also, you have to understand and identify if someone is from a particular generation. They've been brought up and taught a certain way. So sometimes we have to work backwards. And I've had to do that myself with certain things. Again, like the North-South divide thing, where it's like you have it in you, or you listen and you're brought up around certain. But for us, because obviously we've got family down there, I didn't have it as probably, but I still had it. And it was the same with people when I used to play sport against, say, William Hume or Manchester Grammar School. I'd always have that. Oh, they're posh kids, so
yeah.
And then you play cricket with one of them, and they're the nicest people ever. And you're like, my perception's changed now. But that was from a young age, and again, it's like anything. I think it's having the ability to identify it. And again, I think this is why podcasts are so good, and I think yours is brilliant, because again, you're trying to make a change. And fair play to all the guests who've been on to.
Definitely.
To open up and feel comfortable and confident. But again, I think that a big part of that's down to you, Joe, to be perfectly honest. Like I say, we've only known each other a little while, but again, straight away, I'm sure you're probably similar, because you can read people pretty quickly, can't you? And you think, and straight away when we met the other day, when we were filming, it was just like, oh, and you could tell us, like, oh, I'm trying to help you here, so I'm going to listen. And the same with, you know.
Yeah, because I could have thought, oh God, Johnny didn't tell me he was bringing another guy with him. And then, you know, why didn't he tell me that? I don't know, you know, it could have been like that, but it wasn't like that at all, because I am quite a, you know, I am very kind of, because I think the work that I've done, I am quite an open-minded person as well. And I do have, you know, I've got really strong values and really strong beliefs about people and, you know, how I like to align myself with the people that have probably got similar, if not the same, values and beliefs in me, because that's so important in life, isn't it? Because it's like you said earlier on, when you're recognizing that actually sometimes the people that you're friends with, or that you think you're friends with, or that you're spending a lot of time with, aren't good for you, you have to learn to let them go. You have to do that for your own mental health and your own well.
A big one for me, and especially in life, but especially career wise it's being able to say no. Yeah. I never used to say no to anything. I'd be like, I've let them down, or I'd get it. They think I'm not reliable, or I just work myself into the ground. And I'd be like, hang on a minute. I'm like, I'm physically and mentally burnt out here. And that's what, the start of the pandemic, I learned that very quickly. Like, oh, I've had to stop because the world stopped. And then that's what gave me the chance to kind of have a real look about myself and think, what am I doing here? Because I'm just kind of going through the motions. And even though I'm doing pretty cool stuff, and I need to be a bit more streamlined and kind of work. And this, again, the podcast is a big part of this. I know this is a positive thing for me because I like and enjoy doing it. But also I know a lot of people like it as well and have listened to it. And if I stay, you know, if I keep doing this, I'm going to get better at it. It's going to help me. I can connect with more people. And to me, that's a positive thing. And also it's having creative control. You know, unfortunately for myself, and again, I'm sure it's the same with your podcast and with the work that you've done, you know, you're in a system and that's the system and you've got to play the game, which that's what we're in. That's the world we live in. So having the ability to do it on your terms to a point, as much as you can, to then go, that's what's great, because you just like, you press play and then it's like, right, well, let's just go. There's no script. Let's see what we crack on. We could talk shit for 10 hours or it could be brilliant, but already I know there's going to be nuggets in this that hopefully my listeners will go, well, hopefully one, they'll listen to your podcast now, but two, that will be like, oh, wow, I've not thought about that. Or I didn't know Jack was thought like that, or he had something similar, or I didn't know Joe was from the Lake District. Where's the Lake District? And they'll go check it out. It's funny little bits that you take out. But again, I think when you have the ability to come on a podcast and it's not scripted and it's not, you know, again, it's just real. It's just real. And that's why I love doing the podcasts. It's been a real positive thing for me, and I'm sure it has for you as well. It's been a great outlet.
Yeah, and I think, and I just want to pick up on that, you know, that thing that you said around saying no as well, Jack, because I was listening to it was like a Women in Business event the other day, and the woman just said, you know, somebody was saying to them, I really struggle to, you know, in saying no, because I've only just started my business, and I could really relate to this. And I feel like I can't turn down work, because if I say no, it might not come. And she said, let's reframe that and say, you know, when you say no, you're just allowing another opportunity to come your way that's better. And I just thought, I really love that.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Isn't it? It's such a good way of looking at it. By saying no, it's not a negative. It's actually, you're just allowing something better to come to you. Because actually, when you're chasing, and, you know, I've done that in business, and I wasn't aligning myself with my values to what some of the people that I was working with, you know, we were kind of totally off kilter and it wasn't working out. And I was like, what is going on here? And it wasn't until I really got to grips with what my why was really, and what my reason were, but my values and why I think that those are really important. And when all of a sudden, when you do that and you start lining yourself up with people, with work, it's like, it makes so much life so much easier. And, you know, that contentment that you feel, or the happiness or whatever it is, it's because you're doing it in the right way, you know. And saying no isn't a bad thing. It's just, like she said, allowing another opportunity that's better for you to come in.
I think that's a great way of looking at it. And I think it puts the power back into your own hands as well. I think that's what I found of saying no. I remember the first time I did it, I got asked to do this part. And I remember I was in work with my mate, shout out to my mate Dan Crossley. And he just was like, you don't want to do it, just say no. And he's like, and then I went and did it and I came back in. And he's like, mate, I can see like the colour in your face, like the weight off your shoulders. And also, I just didn't want to do it. I didn't feel right. But also it was like, I knew I wasn't right for the part. Yeah. And I think having that, again, that mindset with what she said there, of, I do that now with auditions. I do the audition, especially now we have to do cell tapes. A big part for me, and I think why a lot of the times I've ever got parts, is I go into the room. That's my, I'm comfortable and confident there. Going into a room and not meeting someone or already knowing the casting director and putting myself across, I'm happy. Don't get me wrong, I'm nervous, but there's part of me where I'm comfortable and confident, where it's like, well, I can go in that room and hopefully get that job. When you can't do that and you've just got to do a self tape, it's very different. It's like this. It's totally different. But again, you have to do that. You have to evolve and you have to be creative and do your own thing. And doing that recently, it's been really nice doing self tape, sending them off to my agent, and then I just forget about it then. And if I get it, fantastic. If I don't, it wasn't meant to be, and a better part will come. Unfortunately, I'm in a where I can do that. And I think it's the same with, like you say, with work, anything in life. I think if you if you truly believe in yourself and, like you say, you know, you work with people who've got similar values. And again, going back to me and Johnny, like we met on set on Corrie years ago, and we just clicked straight away. We've always kind of kept in touch, and then we both met working from my friend's football club in the community. We were both taking some pictures and videos, something that we're, you know, really support and encourage. Obviously, we've, you know, we're both sports men, and he's an athlete. Obviously, I'm training for a triathlon now, so it's like we understand the power of sport. We wouldn't be the people we were if it wasn't for sport. So working with ground, you know, grassroots level, especially Nathan, he's a fantastic coach, and we met that day, and then that afternoon I went and worked with him and did a shoot with Alana, who's a personal trainer. And since then, we've just kind of snowballed. And obviously, that's how I've met you. And again, it's working with like-minded people who were decent people. Who were, and also, for us, we've had a few chats now, and we still do it. You know, we want the people who we work with as well. We're not just... Because again, we've both done it where we've both turned work down for big money because it's not... I just don't agree with it. And some people think I'm crazy, but it's just like, well... I've been brought up with morals and values, and I think that's
isn't it?
More important than it's not about money or fame or, and I feel like that's something the next generation, they really need to kind of understand, and hopefully they'll learn from my mistakes. Because don't get it twisted, like there's been a few jobs that I have done and I've had to do for money, or I've done because I was naive. And also you think, oh, if I do that and then I'm going to do this and then I'm going to, and then you realise like, oh, actually, I'm not happy. So what is the point in doing that? Do what makes you happy.
Exactly.
And that's, and again, we all figure it out at different times, but hopefully with sharing stories and listening to other people's, it will help. And I think, I'm sure it's the same with the gentleman that you've interviewed. I remember you mentioned about the guy who's in charge of Asda now?
You
know, with him, you know, that imagine the pressure of with everything that's going on, especially with the pandemic. And he got to a point where he realized and thought, hang on a minute, I've got to make sure my staff are okay. And the ability to do that as a leader, that's so cool. And
absolutely,
that's what we need from our members of society who are doing well and can make changes. They're the decisions that need to be made, where it's they take a step back and they think, what are we doing with others? And I think that's what's I'm hoping with the next generation. I'm saying like I'm dead old, I'm 31, I see it already, you know, with the next generation. I've got little cousins and I want them to, and it's happening because of technology, and I think it does happen, but they have got the chance to kind of look at how certain systems are in place and change them. And I think by things like podcasts, you can listen and learn and be able to be like, oh, well, it's not, you know, I do enjoy reading. It's something that I like doing, but it's not in a book. You can go listen to this podcast or listen to this person or listen to Joe, who has a wealth of experience in the subject. She's constantly learning, but listen to what she's done and she's been through. And the fact, like, when you come, I'm thinking back now of what you said before about when you come back up north and, you know, again, it must have been so hard for you. You know, you're a young mum, you've come to Manchester, new city, you're going into work with a target on your back because, again, you're that person who's making changes, even though you know it's for the better and you're trying to help people and it's the right decision, and you've still got to do it. And I feel like that's a really important message that, you know, anyone who's listening, you know, if you know morally it's right and you're that person, you have to step up and do it. It's you said something before and it really struck a chord with me. It was like, I've got a voice, I've got to use it. I always say that about the podcast. That's why I started it. I've got a voice, I need to start using it because I haven't in the past.
Yeah, and that's taken me quite a long time, because when I did some... I did in London. There's a clinic called the Tavistock Clinic, and they look at things from a psychodynamic perspective. So very much about, you know, we are unconsciously driven. So we've got our conscious mind and our unconscious mind, but we are driven mainly by our unconscious mind. So I did my master's in unconscious thinking and processes. Sounds boring. Totally fascinating.
No. I'd love.
And exactly, but part of the course was, and it's probably to this day still one of the greatest things I've done in terms of education. We did a 7-day residential. We didn't sleep over, but we had to be there from 7 till 7 every day for 7 days. And it was called the individual, the group and the organisation, okay? And there was every student that was studying, whether you're part-time or full-time, in that building was there, you know, was there plus six kind of international facilitators who were observing our every move. Everything what we did, what we said, how we presented, were we a follower, were we prepared to stand out, you know, were we prepared to lead? So all of, I know there was this woman there, and she was called Catherine White, and she was from New York, and she was a black woman. She was fierce.
Yeah.
And this one day, this poor person was late, right? And there was this tiny little knock at the door, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I'm not that person that's coming in. Right. So the person opened, the other guy, there was a guy at the door, and he opened the door, and she just went, find yourself a seat. And I'm thinking, oh, you'd be dying. You'd be really dying. And she said, the girl that came in said, I just need to leave my bag out, my bag of rubbish outside. I don't know why she said it might have been nerves. So this woman came back to her and said, we'd all like to be able to do that, wouldn't we? And I was like, oh, just sit down and shut up, because this is so painful. Yeah. But from that, at the end of it, after this, like, this week of basically being put through emotional turmoil, you could get some feedback at the end. And I was thinking, oh, I want my feedback from her. She's going to tell me straight, da, 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 da. Anyway, I couldn't get a slot with her. So I got a slot with a guy who I thought hadn't been taking any notice of me at all for the whole week. So I went to meet him. It was this really lovely, beautiful Indian man. And he was dead gentle. And I just thought, he wouldn't even have a clue who I am. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And he said to me, so I've been watching you and I've been observing you. He said, you probably don't think that I've noticed anything about you, do you? And I was like, how does he even know that I think those thoughts? Do you know what I mean? And I think because he was so experienced at what he did. And he said to me, and I said, no, I said, to be quite honest with you, I was really disappointed that I was coming to see you and not somebody who I thought had been observing me. And he said, you see, we observe everything doing this. He said, you know, and you don't even know we're doing it half the time, because you don't know you're doing what you're doing half the time either. I was like, all right. I've been put in my place. Anyway, he just said to me, he said, I'm going to say one thing to you, because this is the only feedback that I think that you really need to hear and do something with. So I was thinking, right, what did I do? What did I say? You know, like your head starts to go. He said, I think you're really frightened of your own power and how powerful you could be. I mean, what do you say to that when someone says that to you?
Yeah.
You know, and I said, I don't know. I didn't even know I had power. Do you know what I mean? And it was like such a, but as I've kind of matured and gone on and done different things, I've realized that that was really very true.
Yeah.
You know, that I didn't step into the things where I did have power and I shied away from that, or I let people have power over me when actually, you know, I didn't want power over them, but what I wanted was that equality.
Mm.
You know, so I think doing that, you know, like having a voice, is part of me, a part of my power, I think, really.
Definitely. I think that's an amazing story, that.
It's a great story, isn't it? It's just,
I think even just got, I think you're like doing something like that, though. It's it's having the, again, it's having the ability to go somewhere, do something. And again, this happens with education and studying at a master's level or a degree level or, you know, whatever, you know, we always need to learn and keep learning. And that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to do the podcast as well. Like, there's loads of different reasons, but I learned loads from listening to other people's podcasts. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want this to be. I want this to be, one, to see my own progression and see if I am evolving, which I feel like I am. Yeah. But it's also, it speaks to people who are educated or are people who have got experience in certain fields. And from all over, because people always say, oh, what's your podcast about? And it's very difficult to and I don't want to put it in a box. I want people to listen to it. I listened to for especially this for so many different reasons, but that's a perfect example there, what you just said there, where you've gone, you've done something, you're looking one way and looking at that woman and thinking, I need to hear it off her, because she's going to give me the harsh reality. And he's just dropped that knowledge on you and empowered you and just made you think, like, took a step back and think, oh yeah, I put that's that. And it's that's what podcasts do. And someone will listen to this now and it'll blow their mind like it's just done mine, because you need to hear, you need to hear that, don't you? Sometimes you need to hear that you're powerful and you've got so much potential. But you need to tap into that potential. You can't. Definitely. So no one's going to do it for you. It's. But hearing it, hearing that harsh reality, it's all well and good. I feel like I do always try and look back at in my own things, because again, teachers and things like that. What happens? And obviously, that's been a massive part. Something in your life that's happened, and it's.
God, that was years ago, and I can remember it like yesterday. Yeah, do you know what
and
I mean?
They're the things and. You know, I've had it with a few lecturers. It reminded me when I went to the Lake District, and we had something similar, but not nowhere near the 7-day thing. It was an overnight camp.
Yeah.
And we all got put into groups, and we all did this and we all did that. And I remember it was like we all got assigned things, but then on one of the days it was like, you're not getting assigned anything. And it just shows, you know, the so half lads, half girls. And it was like, you have to do, you know, certain roles they have to do. Yeah. And obviously you're like, this is what I need to do, this is what I do. But I remember straight away, I was like, I'll cook, because no one wanted to cook. But I enjoy cooking. Like, I love cooking. My mum's always taught me how to cook. And even a few years ago, I remember a lot of the lads were a bit like, what? And a few of the girls were like, are you sure? And then I remember eating, everyone was like, oh my God, that's him. But I enjoy cook. But again, it's having that mindset of being like, well, I will do that. And also, it's the next day the lecturers came and they're like, oh, who did this and who did that? And I remember chatting to one of the lecturers afterwards, and they were like, this is why we put you in this group. And they were like, why? And they were like, because you have that ability to lead, but you don't shout, you do. And that's who you are.
Yeah.
That's a positive thing. So be more comfortable and confident with that. And at the time, you don't think it, do you? You just think, oh, well, that's who I am. And that's, but in reality, sometimes you need someone to get to tell it straight. And again, that gentleman.
Yeah.
It just makes me laugh, because you think, oh, he won't even watch me. And in reality, he's probably watching you the whole time and picking up on things. And it's funny, because like you say, that sticks with you now, doesn't it? And it's.
It does. It absolutely does, because, you know, he even knew when I'd gone in the morning, he'd even know on what mornings I'd sat in the same seat and gone to the same seat, and on the days when I hadn't. And I was like, wow, these observation skills, never underestimate the power of observation, because what part of the course was we had to observe an infant for 12 months in the first year of its birth, because you're looking at the attachment that infant has to its mum in the family. And, you know, what happens to the family when a new baby comes along, and then we would have to kind of, you know, analyze it basically as what was going on with that attachment theory. So I knew that they would be really observing, but I didn't realize to what extent. But, you know, for me doing that 12 months of observation, I'm a real observer of people, of things. And I think that's probably why I really love my job in mental health so much, and why, you know, I always talk about our communication is 95%. Nonverbal. What we do nonverbally tells us more than what we say verbally. Mm. You know, because our nonverbals don't lie, but we can lie, you know, with what we talk about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you know, them and their skill, because they were so skilled at that, these kind of consultants, they were not as in consultant doctors, but they're consultants. That was their kind of title and their role that they had in this kind of 7-day event. You know, they obviously didn't miss a trick. They didn't, you know, they might have had us on camera for all I know and watched it back, but I don't think they would have done then. But I don't think this TV probably existed then. So it was very, very enlightening, eye-opening, and just a real growth time for me as well. Do you know what I mean? Because if you know that when you go in on that Monday morning and you finish on that Sunday evening, you are not coming out the same person.
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
absolutely not, you know, and I definitely wasn't the same person that went in on that Monday morning at 7 a.m. all shy and thinking, oh, I'm going to hate every minute of this, to the person that left on the Sunday evening thinking, wow, what have I just been through for a whole week of my life? You know, I haven't spoken to anybody else except for the people that have been in this room, because I've not been anywhere. I've been exhausted by the time I got home, then back again at 7 to start all over again. Do you know what I mean? So total commitment. And I think that's what really kind of made me realize for me that our mental health and who we are as individuals is incredibly important. The role you play in a group is important, but then, you know, when you go to work and you work in an organization, how you can really help that organization to have a different way of being, or a different way of a different mindset in the way that it does things. But you have to get people on board with you, otherwise you're just not going to survive in there.
100%. You've got to be singing off the same hymn sheet, haven't you?
Absolutely.
It's, you know, it's like when you go on set, it's the everyone's got a specific role, and the last kind of big job I did, it was amazing because it was just nice to be back on set because of obviously the pandemic. But I knew about four or five people on that set, and it was, we've all come up at different times doing different roles, but now, like, I was a lead in that, they were like assistant director, they were head of, you know, lighting, and it's like you just know straight away, like, that is going to be a good job, because half the people you work with are cool, and you know they're very good at the job, they're there for a reason, everyone's positive, it's, but everyone knows the job, and it's the same as knowing your role and being able to come in, staying ready as soon as it's your time to film. You're not asking for another take, you're not, you know, you're taking your ego out of it, and you're just going, I'm here to do my job, do the best version I can. And then ultimately that is going to help the team, and having that team. And I think that's what I'm hoping, you know, when we're allowed to get back into groups, I hope people understand where it's like, you're lucky to be in social settings, and hopefully it's like, be a better team player. I'm hoping like, that's the only problem with the pandemic. You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of society. Yeah. And I hope it makes people make a change, really, because it's there's a lot of things that's wrong in the world, and the only way things change is by, you know, action and by things happening. And hopefully people, when they listen to podcasts, and especially yours, they can understand that, oh, we're all similar. And especially like this last bit we've just talked about now, it's blown my mind. And this is, again, this wouldn't happen unless you do the podcast, because you're sharing a story of your, you know, not just your upbringing, but again, your journey and your education and understanding where we can all learn. We can all, you know, we all think we're set in our ways, or we all think this and that, but sometimes it takes one person to go, you need to be more powerful and believe in yourself. And you're like, oh my gosh. Where some people, it's the other way. Sometimes they need to have you're getting a bit too big for your boots here. Like, you need to just calm down. And but being open-minded to kind of take that on board, it's, again, it's just that's why I love podcasts, to be perfectly honest. I just think there's so many good little bits of this that are going to, I'm just going to chop them all up. All your good bits, all the stuff I've said, that are rubbish. All the good bits. I was going to say, I've kept you a lot longer.
It's all right. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. It's been good to be on the other side of things. Actually, what it feels like. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. We've had a good, a really interesting mix of conversation.
It's been fab. I literally had my notes were podcast tips. That's all I asked, and I think you've gone above and beyond answering all those. But so where can my listeners listen to your podcast then?
So my podcast is just on its way to be uploaded. So if I can let you know that, it'll go out on all podcast channels. So Spotify, Apple. First one will probably go out, I think it's on Monday. Is that Monday the 29th? I think it is.
It will be, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the 29th. So, but it'll be on Spotify, Apple, and what other podcast channels there are. I don't know, there's so many now, isn't there?
It's hard to keep up, but they're the main ones.
Yeah, they're the main ones. And I'll probably be releasing kind of one every week. And I'm going to try and do it in like a series. So I've got series one, I'll have four, and then series two, I'll have another four, and just see how I go with it and see what the feedback's like. And, you know, because I'm very much a learner from feedback as well. So awesome. I think that's really important to kind of get some feedback and see how it could be better, what needs changing, or you know, people like it as it is. So absolutely, so yeah, that's where they can listen to it. It's called Let Men Talk. And if you want to get in touch with me in another way, my business is called Working With You In Mind. It's a mental health and coaching for organizations, but also for individuals well. And that's Let Men Talk. I've forgotten what it is. It's workingwithyouinmind.co.uk.
What I'll do is when I post this, because what I'll do is I'll just send this to you now. Have a listen back to it whenever you can. There's no rush at all. And then I'll put all those links in.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So anyone listening, you'll be able to go there. I post it on Instagram and all my social medias as well. So you'll be able to get all the Insta stuff and that way. But yeah, thank you so much, Joe. Honestly, I really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll do another one when we can meet up in person as well. Because I'd love to.
Yeah, that'd be good as well, in person.
It'll be great. I'll try and get Johnny down and get some video and pictures as well.
Johnny just gives me grief.
Do you know what? He said to me, he's like, say this to her. And I was like, I'm not saying that to her, mate. He's a good one, isn't he? He's a wind-up merchant. That's what it is.
All right. He's a wind-up merchant. But
thank you so much. Have a lovely weekend and take care of yourself, Joe. And thank you so much, honestly. I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye, Joe.
See you.